name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, help me to make this time of prayer fruitful, that I listen to you, what you have to tell me today. Help me to be attentive, responsive, generous, as you are generous in doing the will of the Father, in becoming man, in living amongst us and suffering at our hands, and then coming to the end of your life and your passion, and even at the beginning of your public life. After being baptized, you went into the desert for those 40 days in which you fasted. And at the end, as the Gospels tell us, you were hungry. 40 days without eating, and we follow you on that way in Lent. And then at the end of your life, your passion and death, your suffering, your tremendous suffering for me. We consider each one of those aspects in the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary. Your prayer in the garden, sweating blood, that agony unto death, as you said to those three apostles who were with you so closely. And why were you suffering so much? Because Judas had betrayed you for 30 pieces of silver. Because Peter was to deny you, saying that he didn't even know you, the prince of the apostles, the rock of the church, went to water. Thinking of your mother the following day, that she would be there beside the cross, as you suffered, she would suffer too. Thinking of all those souls down the ages that would not be saved, in spite of the fact that you were suffering, that all might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It must have hurt you deeply to think of souls that you loved. You love everyone, but they would reject you in the end. They would not accept your merciful love. Agony in the garden, scourging at the pillar. And Lord, when we consider that scourging with those pieces of metal in the scourge, tearing your flesh, the blood that flowed, the pain of the scourging that went on and on relentlessly, and at the end of that, you're half dead. And Saint Jose Maria, in his book, Holy Rosary, says, bound to the pillar, covered with wounds, the blows of the lash sound upon his torn flesh, upon his undefiled flesh, which suffers for your sinful flesh. More blows, more fury, still more. It is the last extreme of human cruelty. Finally, exhausted, they untie Jesus, and the body of Christ yields to pain and falls limp, broken, and half dead. You and I cannot speak. Words are not needed. Look at him. Look at him slowly. After this, can you ever fear penance? And Lord, as we begin our prayer about our own life of penance, of self-denial, can we ever fear penance when we meditate on your scourging? How much you suffered out of love for us. The crowning with thorns, long, sharp thorns, and pressed down on your scalp, piercing it. And as we see on the shroud of Turin, that trickle of blood running down your forehead. The carrying of the cross. When you had lost so much blood, when you were so weakened by that scourging, and the crowning with thorns. Nothing left of human strength, and then they load that heavy cross on your shoulders. And as you carry it out of love for us, love for the cross which was to redeem us, you fall. No more strength. And your body is saying, I can't. I can't get up. I don't have any strength. And you get up. Your will overcomes your bodily weakness, and you go forward again, and you fall a second time. And now you are even more exhausted, but again you get up. And now you're going up that hill of Mount Calvary. And then a third fall. And now it is virtually impossible for anybody in your weakened state to get up, but again you do that, and you show us we can do much more than we think, too. And finally, the crucifixion. Nailed to the cross with those big, rough nails penetrating your wrists and going through the median nerve and through your feet. And then hanging on that cross for 3 hours between suffocation when you hang and you can't fill your lungs with air, and pulling yourself up against those nails with the added pain so that at least you can take a few breaths. What suffering crucifixion was until finally you breathe your last. And Lord, when we meditate on your suffering and death on the cross, we are moved to sorrow for our sins and to make up for them by our penance. And we asked at the beginning of our prayer, as we always do, I ask pardon for my sins. Lord, forgive me. It was my sins that scourged you, that crowned you with thorns, that nailed you to the cross, that crucified you. Rusus crucifigentes eum, the letter to the Hebrew says, crucifying him again. Lord, we cannot fear penance. Our love for you follows your love for us and moves us to take up our cross and follow you. You invited us to do that. If anyone would be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And you said daily, not just on Fridays when the church commemorates your passion by a day of penance. Every day, following you, we need it. It does us so much good to deny ourselves. We get so many benefits from it. First, we help to make up for our sins. When we look back over our life, if we try to count the sins that we have committed, venial and perhaps mortal too, we would not be able to count them. We have no recollection of how many different sins we have committed, and each one of them demands that we do something to make up. We could never make up in justice for a sin against you, the Almighty God. You don't ask it, but you ask us to do something. And that is why you invite us, if we would be your disciples, to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow you. A good question to ask that helps us to be more generous in our self-denial is this: if I were to die today, would I be ready to go straight to heaven, or would I have to go to purgatory to make up for my sins? We have no idea whether we would go straight to heaven. And we rather think, no, I need to do much more to make up for my sins. Well, that is why, for one reason, we do penance. And we don't know either when you're going to call us. Yes, it may not be today, but how long do we have to live? No matter how young we are, we could die of an accident, of a heart attack, of a cerebral hemorrhage. We don't know. Lord, help us while we still have time to be generous in taking up our cross, in living that self-denial, to make up for our sins. Secondly, to detach our appetites from the things of this world. We become so worldly, indulging our appetites and in things like entertainment. How much time do we spend on the internet looking at social media every day? How much time do we spend on our mobile phone, checking the news, checking messages that may come in, watching television? How much do we indulge our appetites in food, in drink, in simply comfort? We need to detach our appetites from all of those. And our penance helps us to do that. And St. Alphonsus Liguori, founder of the Redemptorists, says, "If we wish to enjoy the pleasures of eternity, we must deprive ourselves of the pleasures of time. Whoever would save his life will lose it. If we wish to be saved, we must all be martyrs, either by the tyrant's sword or through our own mortification. Let us have this conviction, that everything we suffer is nothing compared with the eternal glory that awaits us. I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Words of St. Paul in his letter to the Romans. These momentary afflictions will bring us eternal happiness. And Lord, help us to follow that advice of St. Alphonsus and take up our cross for the eternal happiness, eternal, that awaits us. Thirdly, to strengthen our will. Our will can be so weak. We make resolutions. I will do this. I will avoid that. And then we fail because our will is weak. Lord, if we denied our will in so many comforts, it would grow stronger. St. Jose Maria writes, "How often you resolve to serve God in something and you have to content yourself, you are so weak with offering him the frustrated feeling of having failed to keep such a simple resolution." Lord, help us to be more generous in our self-denial, in our mortification, to strengthen our will, that we can be more effective in life, whether it is in our work, in our family life, in our study. We cannot bring ourselves to do the most basic things. If we mortified ourselves more, our will would be stronger, we would be more effective. And fourth, by our penance, we can give good example to those around us. And so many people simply don't know how to do anything but indulge themselves. If we are with them, perhaps in a dinner, at the table in the family, in cocktails that we might attend, and we know how to say, "No, thank you, I've had enough," we at least give good example to those around us who may be somewhat put out by the fact that we can say no and they can't. And fifth, we can offer it up for others. Yes, we benefit every time we pick up our cross in so many ways, but we can offer that cross for others too. And we know so many people who are sick that we want to help by our prayer, and our penance is a great way of helping them because it costs us more. It is, as it were, the prayer of the senses. So many people who are not living good lives, who are living in sin, and we would like to see them convert and come back to God. We can offer up our penances for them. Perhaps they are members of our own family. So many people who are experiencing marriage difficulties, and we would like to see them stay together or come back together. And the list goes on. so many intentions for which we would like to pray and help others. And the best way we can help them is by offering up our penances. They benefit them as well as benefiting us. And St. Jose Maria, in that same chapter on mortification in the way, writes, "You always come out beaten. Propose to yourself each time the salvation of a particular soul, or its sanctification, or its vocation to the apostolate. If you do so, you are certain of victory." Lord, help us to do that, to think of those many people we know who are in such great need. If we think of them, we will do that little penance that we were tempted not to do. And Lord, sixth, we show our love for you by picking up our cross, showing you that we do want to be your disciples, and telling you we want to love you, and demonstrating it by our sacrifice is holiness. Holiness is love, and love is doing your will, picking up our cross daily and following you. For that reason, St. Jose Maria again writes in his book, The Forge, in point 1025, "You will have as much sanctity as you have mortification done for love." The measure of our holiness, of our love for you, of our sanctity, will be in great measure the measure of our penance. Lord, help us to show our love for you by our generous penance. It's a good thermometer of our spiritual life, of our level of holiness. And Lord, what others do for fitness, for beauty, for health, let us do for love of you. They do it. They are generous. We see these people in the gym, spending hours there lifting weights on the treadmill, on the exercise bike. We see them jogging, going for brisk walks, swimming. All those exercises, which are good, very good. And they do that simply for a temporal good, their health, their fitness, their beauty. Lord, help us to do it for love of you. And St. Paul writes in that same vein, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable." Well, I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I pummel my body and subdue it, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. The athlete receives in his day a perishable laurel wreath, green today, faded tomorrow. Ours is imperishable, heaven. Eternity with you, eternal happiness. And Lord, help us not to deny ourselves that eternal happiness. Let us be very generous in our penance. And St. Paul writes too, in his first letter to Timothy, "Train yourself in godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." Lord, help us to keep heaven in mind. Godliness, holiness, a value here. It gives us that great joy here as well as hereafter. And with a touch of humor, St. Jose Maria writes too in The Way, how afraid people are of atonement. If all they do for appearance's sake to please the world were done with purified intention for God, what saints many would be. So many reasons to be mortified, to live that life of self-denial. Lord, help us to live it. Help us to take up our cross daily and follow you along the way to heaven, to life everlasting. And how can we do it? First, in the area of the fulfillment of our duties. Charity begins at home. Our penance, our self-denial, begins with the fulfillment of our duties. Those jobs that we have been putting off for some other time, sooner or later we have to do them. Let us pick up that cross, that difficult task, and do it for love of you. All of those chores that each one of us has at home in our family. And the parents have the greater chores, the heavier ones, but sometimes they too can tend to put them off and not do them. Let us do those daily tasks that are required of us. Getting out of bed on time in the morning, starting our day, living punctuality throughout the day, not arriving late, starting something late, doing it now. Now is the acceptable time, as St. Paul writes. Finishing things well, putting care into it, a manifestation of love. Putting things away when we finish. So many ways that in the ordinary duties of each day, we can live that life of penance. A second area, charity to others. And Lord, these are the most valuable ones too, because they immediately help someone else. If we serve the family by doing those tasks, preparing the meal, setting the table, making the bed, doing the laundry, we are doing something for another, and they are happier as a result. We benefit them immediately at the same time as we are benefiting ourselves. That kindness, that ringing a friend, how are you? I heard you were sick. Visiting that one in the nursing home or in the hospital. Sending that card to wish someone a happy birthday or a happy anniversary. All those little details that make someone else a little bit happier. Good penances on our part, very small, but that do so much good to someone else. And then all those personal penances, beginning in our senses, our imagination, imagining scenes that only make us angry, or perhaps bring about a certain lust, to cut those imaginations. Guarding our eyes when they tend to look at things that are inappropriate. Our ears, wanting to overhear someone else's conversation, which is none of our business. Or constantly listening to the music that we like when we could turn it off, have more silence. More time to pray or to concentrate on what we are doing. Our taste, of course, especially in food. And do we need to put all the seasonings on the food that we like? One day we might not put that salt, that pepper, that salad dressing, that margarine on our toast. So many ways we can mortify our taste in little ways. The amount that we eat. We can tend to eat too much. Let us discipline ourselves there. And often it would be better for our health too, that we eat less. And certainly that we not eat so much of certain foods that are harmful for our health. Mortifying ourselves in drink, perhaps especially alcohol. For someone, it might be soft drinks. Whatever it might be, let us learn to live moderation. We need to drink, but moderation. And living with St. Josemaria, as I did for 2 years, occasionally still suffering the effects of diabetes, from which she had been cured some 10 years before, and giving him that thirst, he would ask someone, "Please, could you bring me a glass of water?" The person would come, and he would leave that glass sitting there for some time before he took a sip. If he asked someone for a glass of water, it was because he was very thirsty. But he knew how to live that mortification, that moderation in drinking, by delaying it. Mortifying ourselves in our whims. I feel like whatever it might be, having a cup of tea. Well, mortify ourselves. Have it a little bit later. I feel like checking my emails. Let's do it later. I feel like looking at my phone, turning on the television, checking the news. Do it later. All of these whims. We don't have to indulge our whims. We grow in sanctity. We show our love for God. We grow in willpower when we learn to mortify ourselves in those little areas, the areas of comfort. Do we need to turn on the air conditioning or the heater? Do we need to sit in the most comfortable position? Could we not sit in a different chair? Those passive mortifications, the ones that God sends, the ones that God allows. We feel sick. Instead of complaining, offer it up to God. It has great value. That headache. And yes, let us take the medication that can relieve the pain. But in the meantime, let us offer it up to God for other souls to bear well that cross that God sends us. The disappointments in the behavior of other people. The setbacks that life brings. A traffic jam. Our computer crashes. Our car has a flat tire. Or a flat battery. Instead of getting angry, impatient, offer it up. That is a passive mortification. That is a cross that God sends us because he loves us. And Lord, if we live all these ways, how much we can grow in love for you and have all of these benefits that we have prayed about. And we find that happiness that you want us to have. Happiness in the cross. St. Jose Maria, in his book Furrow, writes, "Have you not noticed that mortified souls, because of their simplicity, have a greater enjoyment of good things, even in this world?" And the next point, "Without mortification, there is no happiness on earth." And really, a summary of all of that in point 988 in Furrow: a day without mortification is a day lost, because if we have not denied ourselves, we have not lived the Holocaust. And Lord, we finish our prayer going as we always do to Our Lady and how much she knew the cross. In Bethlehem, in a stable, in the flight into Egypt, when you were lost in the temple, when they wanted to throw you off the hill that Nazareth was built on, and especially at Calvary. Mary, help me. You knew the cross. You bore it well. You accompanied Jesus in his cross. Help me to accompany him too. Help me to be his disciple by denying myself, taking up my cross daily, and following him out of love. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.